Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective, and more affordable than you might think. Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
What's up, y'all? It's Liberty Unite with Nate and Charlie on the Free Talk Live Network coming at you from Nashville, Tennessee. It's finally time for Dumb Leap of the Week. That's where the live group gets together and votes through all the 10 options for the dumbest thing that happened in politics this week. Okay, Dumb Leap of the Week. What's number one? Number one is Mike Johnson. If you don't know a lot about Mike Johnson, you know, he actually used to be pretty skeptical of this whole FISA thing. Until he became Speaker of the House, and now all of a sudden he's like, oh yeah, we got to have that FISA thing. We got to have 702. We got to have this broad authority for the FBI and the NSA and whoever else it is that we don't even know about, probably CIA too, even though they're not supposed to do that. Well, they got to be spying on Americans. Now, they're not really spying on Americans or spying on foreigners, but they're spying on Americans also. And how did he come to this conclusion that this is actually something that we need? Well, he got the classified briefings as Speaker, and what he saw was even though there were hundreds of thousands of abuses, this is something that we really need.
When I was a member of the judiciary, I saw all the abuses of the FBI, the terrible abuses over and over and over, the hundreds of thousands of abuses. And then when I became Speaker, I went to the SCIF and got the confidential briefing from sort of the other perspective on that to understand the necessity of Section 702 of FISA and how important it is for national security. And it gave me a different perspective. So I encourage all the members to go to the classified briefing and hear all that and see it so they can evaluate the situation for themselves. And I think some opinions have changed both ways, but that's part of the process. You've got to be fully informed.
Have you been?
Here's what he saw. He saw the file that they have gathered on him that they showed to him. And they said, if you do not push people to vote for this, to continue this program, actually, you should give us some more powers. This might accidentally be leaked. I don't know. We've already got this file. Or it's just the fact that he wants to remain in power. And they're telling him that he would just lose the speakership if he didn't push this through because they would use those other files that they have to corrupt other members of Congress and get them to get rid of him. There's a principled argument in here that I don't like from Mike Johnson. He said that he saw all the abuses, the tens of thousands, the hundreds of thousands from the FBI. Now that he became Speaker, he understands how important this is for national security. I don't deny the fact that it can help national security sometimes to be able to look in on actual bad people and see if they're planning things. But there are abuses, and Americans do have rights, and we do have constitutional amendments to protect those rights. And even if there are bad people out there in the world that want to do bad things, you still have those rights. And the fact that you found out about a couple bad things does not change the fact that people still have those rights. So that's dumb bleep number one for Mike Johnson. Number two, the Biden administration unleashed some new gun control measures, background checks. They're finally going to close that gun show loophole that doesn't exist. I pulled up some studies and some data on this. At the end of the day, that the studies and the data, those parts really don't matter. What matters is whether or not you have a constitutional right to bear arms and all the different ways that the federal government's going to find the power to try and screw you out of that. Or to find a way to decrease the amount of people that are able to sell guns, to go after the dealers or the private vendors that are selling guns, to try and decrease your access to be able to purchase firearms. Here's the story. Thousands more firearms dealers across the U.S. will have to run background checks on buyers when selling guns, selling at gun shows or other places outside brick and mortar stores, according to a Biden administration rule that will soon go into effect. The rule aims to close a loophole that has allowed tens of thousands of guns to be sold every year by unlicensed dealers who don't perform background checks to ensure the potential buyer is not legally prohibited from having a firearm. Let's talk mass shootings for a minute, because when people think about shootings, that's really what they think about. A large amount of it is gun violence, gang violence in cities. But people think about these big media events where someone used a gun to kill a lot of people. How many times do you hear, oh, if there would have been a background check, well, then this person wouldn't have been able to get these guns, but there just wasn't a background check. you see in this person's background, in this criminal record, if there just would have simply been a background check for this person, well, then this would have never happened. How many times have you heard that story before? You probably haven't. What you heard was they passed the background check. There wasn't any criminal history for the person, or you heard that they had the guns illegally. That's your most common, typical stories right there. And in a contentious election year, it's also an effort to show voters, especially younger ones for whom gun violence deeply resonates, that the White House is trying to stop the deaths. And that's another part of this. What you're seeing right now is something that angers me and should anger a lot of other people. Because at the end of the day, you have to ask yourself also, why is this happening right now in 2024? If they could simply make this rule and they could simply require all of these background checks, is this universal? Does this mean universal background checks? We'll finally have this now. Why are they doing it now in April of 2024 while Biden's not doing all that great in the polls? It's almost like it's more of an election ploy. Why are we hearing about Biden canceling a bunch of student loan debt again? Oddly enough, he tried to cancel a bunch of student loan debt before the midterm elections in 2022. And then we didn't hear much about it. And now he's trying to cancel a bunch of student loan debt again in 2024 before the elections. That's weird. Why all of a sudden are we hearing about Biden talking about finding executive orders he could sign to close down the border or to decrease illegal immigration? Why is it now in April of 2024 that the Biden administration is out there talking about finding ways to close down the border? It sort of seems like they just do these things to try to win the election and not because they actually care about these things. I think this is actually just to make it harder for law-abiding gun owners to get guns. It's not going to change anything for the people who aren't law-abiding. There's a lot of guns out there. There's already hundreds of millions of guns out there, and there's a lot of other guns out there that we don't know about as well. Dumb leap number three, it has to do at its basis, it has to do with climate change and the climate hysterians. Very concerning. Turns out wearing jeans is bad for the earth, a study finds, even just once. If you're wearing, you know, that single-use pair of jeans that you have, it's bad for the environment. Recent research from Guangdong University of Technology found that wearing a pair of fast fashion jeans just once creates a whopping 2.5 kilograms of carbon emissions. The environmental wear and tear of the pants is equivalent to driving 6.4 miles in an average gasoline-powered car. One pair of jeans is like driving 6 miles. Okay, the study took jeans as an example to reveal the carbon footprint of Does anyone know what fast fashion is? Is this a specific thing that I'm supposed to know about? Any fashionistas in our live group right now that can tell me this? I don't know. Carbon footprint of fast fashion consumption and its additional climate impacts compared to traditional fashion. Okay, wrote the authors of a new report set for publishing in May 2024. Jeans production and cross-broad transportation contributed 91% of the carbon footprint of fast fashion consumption, added the experts. I think maybe we should look up to see what fast fashion means. This could be very specific. And they're not just pulling your leg. To determine the CO2 effect, scientists followed the life cycle of a pair of jeans that were quickly produced, shipped, worn, washed, and discarded after about 7 uses. And that is where I start to take issue with this story. Fast fashion. I guess these are things that you don't wear regularly or I'm not really sure, but 7 uses? Maybe I'm old fashioned and I'm not fast fashioned like the kids nowadays, but the current stock of jeans that I have, I bought no less than 4 or 5 years ago. They're good jeans, but they're 4 or 5 years old and they've been worn way too many times because I hate wearing jeans. So the answer is too many. But the point of what I'm saying right now is this 2.5 kilograms of carbon and 6.4 miles driven in your car, that's all determined by the fact that that this being bad for the environment is determined by the parameters in the study. They're assuming that you're only going to wear your jeans 7 times. Okay. I don't know who only wears their jeans 7 times, but that has to be a very small portion of people, because you're probably more well off, which is going to be a lower percentage of people. I don't know. Maybe I'm totally off base on this. 7 times seems like none to me. I'm not sure. Someone let me know. The stages are all part of a speedy sequences that most modern clothes follow, owing to the increasingly buzzy fast fashion trend. The movement sees retailers such as all of these people using an excess of resources, energy to crank out cutesy swag and accelerated rates. So maybe these are cheaper jeans that don't last very long, like what Bailey's saying. Maybe the quality has gone down quite a bit. Maybe, you know, back in '19 when I bought my jeans, they were made a lot better. And maybe these days, these jeans are just really terrible and you can only wear them 7 times. In which case, I would say maybe buy some better jeans, because you're wasting a lot of money. I'm not sure. These stories are still going down the ridiculous rabbit hole of the fact that too much CO2 in the atmosphere is leading to all the bad things that ever happened on Earth. At the end of the day, it's humanity that's bad. It's human beings that are causing the destruction for all these other human beings. So we need to get rid of human beings. That way we can save human beings. And if you followed that like I did, then it probably made as much sense as it did to me. Okay, we made it to dumb bleep number 4. Number 4, Mario Knoffel, who I had to look and make sure he was being serious about this, because I don't know. I see a lot of more. I've always felt like I saw some more right-leaning things from Mario, but maybe not. Maybe I'm confusing him with someone else. I don't know. He's got the alert siren American flag thing. So this is breaking news. New voting laws target black turnout in the South. Yes, they signed that in a law just because of that. Southern states roll out stringent voter ID and absentee ballot laws, stirring echoes of historical suppression. These measures set... You got it. That's what it is in Idaho. They're trying to make sure the black people can't vote in Idaho. I do like how it's kind of, and South Dakota too, real heavy black demographic in South Dakota. These measures set to influence the 2024 elections are sparking controversy over their impact on democracy and minority voting rights. Couple things to say on this one. I'm going to talk to all the black people listening right now. I believe in you. I trust you. I think you can. I think you can do it. I think that just like white people, you can go to the DMV and you can get a state ID. I think you can do it. Some people say that you're not smart enough to do this, but I believe in you. I think you can pull this one off. I really do. I think that you can somehow find a location that has the internet. And you can look up the rules for doing such thing. And you can get your light bill. You can take it over there to the DMV. You can get them to get you an ID. I believe that this is possible. This is a ridiculously, I'm back out of my sarcasm mode right now. This is a, in my opinion, ridiculously racist idea that somehow black people just can't get IDs. And I haven't yet seen the evidence that this is even the case. It's just something that people say. So that part itself is really ridiculous. Number two, we do have, I think, an issue with trust in this country and an issue with trust in elections. Sorry if this is the first you're hearing of it, but we do have an issue with trust. And I don't think that that issue is just going to go away by telling people that they're crazy. I think that we have legitimate problems with our elections nowadays, especially when we have a fairly free-flowing border. We've got a lot of different voting laws in a lot of different states. We've got electronic voting machines. We've got mail-in ballots. We've got all kinds of weird stuff going on. And if you actually care about democracy, you would want people to trust the outcome of the elections. And so you want to find a way that people are going to trust the outcome of the elections. One of those ways is to have voter ID requirements. I don't think that's a bad requirement. I think that's okay. If you're going to vote in these elections, that you prove that you are the person whose ballot you are picking up and casting for. I think that's an okay idea. Obviously, in 2020, a lot of Republicans talking about the electronic voting machines and how they might have been compromised. Something tells me that whoever wins, the loser is going to say in some way it was compromised. And we need to find ways to get around those arguments. Making the elections more secure is a way to get around those arguments. I know that you can still mess it up. Paper ballots, okay, that's one. Voter ID, okay, that's another. Mail-in ballots, absentee voting only for the elderly who can't get out to the polls, or for military servicemen and women and Zs and Zers that are overseas that want to cast those absentee ballots. Yeah, that's another, but not just for everyone. That's highly easy to manipulate and cheat, in my opinion. Not saying that there's widespread evidence that that's what happens, but I'm interested in getting back to a place where people actually trust the outcomes of the elections. And so how do you do that? I think you set some rules for making sure that the right people are voting, that you don't have a bunch of illegal ballots or made-up ballots, made-up numbers in your computer systems. These are good things. And at the end of the day, if you're concerned about democracy, well, people trusting the outcome of an election, that's a good way to keep democracy going. Dumb bleep number four. There you go. Mario Nafal. Number five, James Clyburn. He was out there on MSNBC. And one thing he's really worried about when it comes to inflation is that there's just a bunch of disinformation out there. And so he starts off by telling you the truth. And by truth, I mean he lies about a bunch of things and says that it's the truth while talking about disinformation, which I found to be really interesting. It's a 3-minute clip, but I only want like a minute of it. I think I'm starting this around the right spot. If not, it's okay.
I've had with people, there are concerns about things like inflation. But what we've got to get them to see is that inflation today is about 40% of what it was when Joe Biden took office. And so the inflation rates are down and people's incomes are up. Unemployment is on the decrease. And although we see the prices at the stores costing more money, people are in fact earning greater incomes. So what we've got to do is make sure that people see the policies of the Biden administration, how they affect their everyday lives, and get them to see in his policies that which is real. Not what they may hear on social media. One of the focus group people talked about social media and the misrepresentation, disinformation, all of those things are out there, and that's the battle that we have to fight.
So he wants to combat disinformation. And by combating disinformation, what he means is he's going to tell you a bunch of things that aren't true. And that's how you combat disinformation. What things did he say that aren't true? Well, he said two that aren't true, and a third one that's questionable, depending on where you look at the data. The first thing he says is that people need to realize that inflation is 40% of where it was when Joe Biden took office. Now, is that a message that you want to send out there to the people? Inflation is 40% of what it was when Joe Biden took office. That might be great if it were true, but unfortunately, I guess he thinks Joe Biden took office in June of 2022. I'm not sure, because Biden actually took office in January of 2021, and at that point, inflation was at 1.4%. Right now, inflation is at 3.5%, just going by the official BLS CPI numbers. So first off, he's fighting disinformation by either lying or just being an idiot. I don't know which one it is. I guess I don't want to say that he's being malicious here. I think he's just an idiot. You know, don't attribute to malice what can be attributed to stupidity. In this case, I would just say stupidity or ignorance. Inflation is, in fact, not 40% of what it was when Joe Biden took office. That was right around June or July of 2022 when inflation was up at 9.2%. When Joe Biden took office, inflation was at 1.4%. Now, we were in a COVID pandemic at that time. There was lower inflation. There was a lot less commerce happening in the U.S. So probably has something to do with the inflation rate being at 1.4% during that time. Not going to deny that fact. He also says that that wages are up. People are making more money. There's been some wage gains in relation to inflation over the last 6-8 months or so. But if you look at the average weekly salary of people in the United States with inflation, that's down about 0.72% when you take inflation into account. It has made some gains as of late, but that was after a whole bunch of losses that took place. This chart right here, specifically since Joe Biden took office, that wages are technically still down. Unless you fractionate that down to a very specific group of workers, which would be low-skill minimum wage workers, younger minimum wage low-skill workers, those have actually gone up. But when you take everyone else into account in the economy, wages are actually down. So keep in mind, in his worry about disinformation that's online, he either lies or gets two things wrong. So misinformation from him. And then he says unemployment's on to the climb. Now, this is not really like a lie or a big crazy point that you have to make. But I do want to point out the fact that right before the COVID pandemic, and I think it's important to look right before the COVID pandemic happened, when the government shut stuff down, the unemployment rate was at 3.5%. It's currently at 3.8%. It is down from when Joe Biden took office. When he took office, unemployment was at 6.4%. And so it is down quite a bit from when he took office. I do like to look at where it was before COVID, as I've explained several times. If you don't care about what it was the month before COVID, then what you're saying is, if a Democrat would have been in office, if it wouldn't have been Donald Trump, if it would have been Hillary Clinton instead that was in office, we would have had no lockdowns, less lockdowns. They would not have shut the country down. So we can disagree with what Trump said, and we can say, well, some of Trump's policies and then a lot of state governor policies led to this really high unemployment rate. And Biden came into office and the economy opens back up and the unemployment rate goes back down to what it used to be. You can't blame that part on Trump unless you think that if Hillary Clinton was in office instead of Donald Trump, that she would not have done any lockdowns and that the economy would have just kept moving smoothly and nothing would have changed. I think there would have been a lot more rules if it wouldn't have been Trump in charge. Lesser of two evils, still evil. We understand that part. I still think he did less to shut down America during this time than a Democrat in charge would have done. When we come back, the conclusion of Don't Bleep of the Week, along with the winner. Who will it be? We get a lot more options for us to go through. Coming right up on Liberty 9 on the Free Talk Live Network.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
USA News Update. Former President Trump returned to a New York City courtroom Tuesday for day two of jury selection in his criminal hush money trial. A total of 96 New Yorkers were brought in as prospective jurors, but 50 were immediately dismissed when they said they couldn't be fair and impartial. The House presented articles of impeachment against Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas to the Senate Tuesday. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is expected to swiftly move to dismiss the charges. Tuesday brought another round of questioning on Capitol Hill for Secretary Mayorkas, Republicans pressing him on a surge of illegal immigration, particularly people whose names are on the terror screening database.
If an individual is on the terrorist screening data set and they pose a threat to national security, they are a priority.
Congressman August Pfluger of Texas pushing for a public hearing to compel the secretary to disclose information about people crossing the border. John Schaefer, USA News.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Have you heard the warning from the dead doctors don't lie guy? I'm talking about Dr. Joel Wallach. He says if you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol or high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, or other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. That's what he says. He has a free lecture revealing what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in his free lecture called Deadly Recipe. You want it free? Call him toll free at 855-79-YOUNG. You ready? 855-79-YOUNG. Dr. Joel Wallach, the dead doctors don't lie guy, says there's no reason why we shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
Trump did a lot of stuff wrong. We did the stimulus, caused a bunch of inflation, shut down a lot of parts of the economy, had press conferences with Anthony Fauci by his side. You know, Operation Warp Speed, for those of you who aren't a fan of the vaccine, like, there's plenty of reasons to blame a lot of stuff on Trump, for sure. But I just try to look at, you know, what would we have had if it were a different president in office? Either it wouldn't have been very different, or it would have been a lot worse as far as the unemployment rate and the inflation goes, in my opinion. Unless, you know, like Rand Paul would have won in 2016 or whatever. Would have been a lot less, or a lot more unemployment in that case. Number six, Congresswoman Jasmine Crockett, Democrat, Texas, suggests exempting blacks from taxes. Now, that's not really the dumb part. I'm putting this in here because it got sent over to us either in the live group or on Twitter or something like that. I believe some of the stuff she says in here, though, about reparations, and then she kind of says the quiet part out loud at the very end of this conversation. That's dumb bleep number six. Let me find it. Where is that? Jasmine Crockett. Here we go.
Just this past week, I saw, I don't remember which celebrity, but it was actually a celebrity, and I was like, that's not necessarily a bad idea. Mm-hmm. But I'd have to think through it a lot. One of the things that they propose is black folk not have to pay taxes for a certain amount of time, because then again, that puts money back in your pocket. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it may not be as objectionable to some people about actually giving out dollars. Yeah. But obviously, then you start dealing with the different tax brackets and things like that. And that's one of the reasons that, you know, we argue that reparations make sense, because so many black folk, not only do you owe for the labor that was stolen and killed and all the other things, right? Mm-hmm. But the fact is, like, we end up being so far behind, right? And so it's like, how do you bring forth people? Yeah. Exactly. And so it's like, if you do the no tax thing for people that are already, say, struggling and aren't really paying taxes in the first place, it doesn't really exactly.
They may want those checks like they got.
Exactly. Just this past.
All right. So there's a lot of stuff in there. I was trying to write down some notes as we were going through that. One thing, obviously a fan of reparations, which is ridiculous. You know, she talks about people being owed a lot for the labor that was stolen. Owed to who? To whom? And from whom? to whom? I'm not really sure. There aren't any slaveholders that are alive in America, that we know of, not legally anyway. And there aren't any former slaves that are alive in America either. So I'm not sure who owes what money to whom in that scenario. So that's already kind of ridiculous. Now, she mentions black people not paying, not having to pay taxes, and that being a form of reparations. This is something we've said before. If it's kind of the same as when they let corporations not pay taxes, you know, as a form of a corporate giveaway, corporate welfare, whatever. When it comes to not paying taxes, well, taxation is theft. Taxation is immoral. Taxation is something that we don't agree with. And so therefore, if someone can get out of the taxation prison that people have been put in, well, I'm not going to argue to put them back in it. Now, that's not the position that she's arguing from. She's not arguing from the position that taxation is immoral. She's arguing from the position that black people are owed money and so therefore shouldn't have to pay taxes. If we were able to do that, start with black people, that's fine. And then maybe eventually we can work and we can get white people the same rights that black people have, which is to not be stolen from every time you earn money in a free voluntary transaction with your employer. I think that would be a better world for everyone. Then later in the video, she says, well, but this might not work because a lot of black people don't pay taxes. So maybe a little bit of quiet part out loud right there. She's like, yeah, that plan wouldn't really work because a lot of black people don't really pay taxes. And then the other person's like, yeah, so right. They might rather just have the checks instead. Okay. Maybe a little bit of quiet. But then, of course, she blames it on economic circumstances and stuff like that, which made me think, I know that, people like this would not agree. People who are pushing reparations would not agree. But we've already got a form of reparations, and it's more class-based, but statistically, I guess, more black people in that category. But we have had the war on poverty since the 70s, and we spent like $30 trillion on that the whole time. That sort of seems like you're trying to make up for something. Maybe that's a form of reparations. Maybe the fact that she says most black people don't pay taxes and white people are paying taxes, I guess. Of course, it would be determined by your economic circumstances that you're in. Maybe this plan is already in place right now. Maybe we've already had reparations and they don't work. Maybe that's something that people should consider. Either way, the entire idea is ridiculous. And like I said, like I can get on board if you want to make the moral argument that taxation is theft and we're going to start off by exempting black people from taxes because taxation is immoral and theft. That's one way. That's one way to do it. But if you're going to make the argument that black people are owed reparations by these people who are not alive anymore to give to them who were not slaves, well, that's the wrong position to make that argument from. But maybe we can still come into some kind of agreement on this. I don't know. That's number six. How about number seven? Maxine Waters, she gets just accosted daily by these racists all over the place, everywhere she goes. People come up to her and they tell her terrible things about how they feel about black people because they're racist. That's not actually what happens. People come up and say that they don't like her policies or her ideas, but she has decided that they only do that because she is black. And so therefore she is being accosted by racists all the time when she goes out. Anytime someone tells her in public that they disagree with her, it's because she's black. and not because she's Maxine Waters and she supports every single dumb idea that there is.
As a member of Congress with people, you know, who evidently had a racist attitude and recently one even confronted me in a restaurant, and they don't say racist things, but right. what they say is they don't like something I said. They don't like a position that I took. But you know that, you know, if you were not black, you would not be approached that way.
Right. They probably would not. Right. They would think twice about doing it. They think that they can get away with doing it with you and that you're black.
Powerful stuff. Real powerful stuff. They don't say racist things to her, even though they are racist. Apparently, these are racists coming up to her. They don't say racist things, though. They say that they don't like something that she did. They don't like a policy that she has. And therefore, they come up to her and they say that, but that's because they're racist, because if she wasn't black, they wouldn't come up to her and say that. They think, and then the other person, the interviewer, comes in and says, right, they think they can get away with it, you know, because you're black. Yeah, I don't know about that one. I feel like I've seen a whole lot of videos of people accosting any politician that there is out there, even, you know, Republican politicians. They don't like them. They could be white or they could be black. Maybe when Ted Cruz goes out places, people have confronted him in public before and called him whatever name you can come up with that's in the book of names to call people. They do that because he's white, or they do that because they don't like his policies. I've seen Rand Paul get surrounded on the street, probably in fear for his life. Did they do that because he's black and they could get away with it? Or did they do that because they were black and they could get, I'm not really sure which one it is. No, this entire idea is ridiculous. People do this to politicians all the time. And we see videos of people doing this to politicians all the time. It has nothing to do with the politicians being black. It has to do with people disagreeing with the policies that politicians agree with or push or have put into place. So everything is racist. Not really working for me right now. But of course, why would it? I'm just a straight white man. I run the world. Moving on, completely different subject. Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee is schooling some people. She sort of had her Hank Johnson moment talking about the moon. This was during all of the eclipse fever that was going on. She's talking about the moon. I'm not going to try and paraphrase what she said because I don't want those ideas to go into my mind, but let's find. Okay, hold on. We might have to go on to the next one. I'll have to find that video. I'm not seeing it right now. All right. Don't see it. That's my bad. That's number 8. Let's go to number 9, which we already watched, which is Sunny Hostin talking about the solar eclipse. I'll play that video and I'll find the other one while I'm looking for it. So let's play the clip of Sonny Hostin blaming the solar eclipse, the cicadas, and earthquakes on climate change.
Leaving, we've got a solar eclipse. We've got the earthquake.
She ran down the hallway.
The rapture is here.
The rapture's here. And then also I learned that the cicadas are coming.
Cicadas.
Cicadas.
Although I love
for the first time in like
100
years.
No.
Two different. Well, this is what I read.
There's two different kinds of cicadas.
Yes, two different times are coming.
The good cicadas and the bad cicadas.
But for the first time in many, many years.
No, every 17 years this happens.
Well, that's not what I read, but maybe, you know, maybe you know better. But
in a way,
say all those things together would maybe lead one to believe that, you know, either climate change exists
or
something is really
or returning.
Earthquakes are not at the mercy of climate change. It's underground. No,
it happens. And the eclipse, they've known about the eclipse coming because the eclipse.
When Whoopi Goldberg and Joy Behar are acting like you're an idiot for saying what you just said, and are the voice of reason at the table saying, that's not climate change. Things have gotten really bad for Sunny Hostin. And they were trying to shut her up the whole time because what she was saying was ridiculous, of course. Unfortunately, she still finished her thoughts. Here's the video. So that's dumb bleep number 9. I'm sorry for the confusion. We'll go back to what is technically number 8. Right now, and hear from Sheila Jackson Lee talking about the moon. Let's see. Here we go.
Sometimes you've heard the word full moon.
Sometimes you need to take the opportunity just to come out and see a full moon is that complete rounded circle, which is made up mostly of gases. And that's why the question is why or how could we as humans live on the moon? Are the gases such that we could do that? The sun is a mighty powerful heat that is almost impossible to go near the sun. The moon is more manageable.
WTF was that? Is the main question. I'm not really sure. Your guess is as good as mine. For anyone who, I guess, needs to know this, I didn't pull up the data on the matter, but the moon is not made up of gases, so it's a rock. I don't know exactly what it's made of. I mean, sure, there's probably all kinds of different stuff. I don't think it's comprised mostly of gases, though. This presents a great opportunity for us to watch Hank Johnson talk about,
sir, I think Guam
possibly capsizing, because that's immediately what it made me think of. And why wouldn't we just go ahead and play this clip just for fun?
Guam is a small island.
Very small island, and about 24 miles, if I recall, long. So 24 miles long, about 7 miles wide at the least widest place on the island, and about 12 miles wide on the widest part of the island. I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you happen to know?
I don't have that figure with me, sir.
My fear mm-hmm. is mm-hmm. that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize. Will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that.
Okay. Because why wouldn't you just go ahead and play that clip for fun? That's immediately what it reminded me of. These people are still in power, and Hank Johnson thinks that islands... Now, maybe you never think about this kind of thing. Maybe you just never think about it. And you see islands and you're like, wow, that's floating in the ocean. I don't know why it doesn't eventually get pushed over to one of the other bodies of land. Are those also floating? I'm not really sure. But yeah, maybe you just never thought about it before. So, okay. But maybe before you are in a congressional hearing and you're using this as a reason that you shouldn't station troops there, which I think is what the conversation was. We could make other arguments for not stationing troops there. That'd be fine. Maybe you should look into that. And maybe when you're giving a speech about the moon and the sun, maybe you could be forgiven for thinking that the moon is made up of just a ball of gases and questioning whether or not we could ever live on it. I'm not really sure. But maybe then just don't go up in front of a bunch of people and talk about it, you know? That's fine. You can be forgiven for not knowing these things. But then you're in a position of power. Just think about all the other things that they don't know. And that they still get to vote on things that can determine your future. And on the list of things that they don't know are whether or not islands are boats. And whether or not the moon is gas. And maybe whether or not putting money towards college tuition is going to cause the price to go up or down. You know, just random stuff like that. I'm sure they know all the economic stuff, though. They definitely know the economic stuff. No way that they could be wrong on that kind of thing, too. Number 10, this is only number 10 because it's the last thing I put on here today. And not because it's the craziest or whatever. Sonny Hostin, pretty ridiculous. Sheila Jackson Lee, that's pretty ridiculous too. Actually, there was a lot of ridiculous videos that we just went through. This is number 10 because it was the last thing I added to the slides today. This This is talking about student loan forgiveness. Of course, Biden announced earlier this week that he was going to be forgiving a bunch more student loans. 30 million different borrowers were going to see their loans go down or be canceled or whatever the number was. The number of people actually getting their loans canceled was a lot smaller. It was like 4 million. And then some other people are getting interest knocked off. And that's, of course, all of this rule actually goes into effect and they're actually able to do it without it getting blocked. So it could still eventually end up getting blocked, but that could end up happening after the election. And this could just be a good election piece for Biden to use, just like what they used in 2022 with all the student loan forgiveness they were doing. Anyhow, people have started bringing up the PPP loans again, the Paycheck Protection Program. I don't like it when people bring this up. The reason I don't like it is not that I support the PPP program, not that I think that that was a great use of money, not that I think that that money should have been printed or stolen or borrowed and then later stolen in all different sorts of ways and sent out to people, not because I support the program whatsoever. But there is a such thing, facts. That's a real thing, okay? And the PPP loans were forgiven because they weren't loans. They were structured like grants. And as long as you use them for what you said you're going to use them for, they were forgiven. That was it. If you use them for something else, then it wouldn't be forgiven, even though it probably still got forgiven anyway. Ed Krasenstein says, I'm not a huge fan of forgiving student loans, but why are the same people who attack student loan forgiveness so reluctant to also condemn Trump for signing the PPP loan forgiveness program into existence? Why is it okay for Trump and Congress to forgive business loans of many people who are already well off, but not okay for Biden to forgive student loans for some people who are struggling? I'd love to hear your thoughts. He said he would love to hear our thoughts. And so why not put some thoughts out there? That way he can hear them. Okay. Pretty obvious answer on this. Student loans were not made to people with the promise that they would be forgiven if they use them to go to college. Like, here's your student loan. If you get this loan and you go to college, we're going to cancel this and you'll never have to pay it. That is not the way that a student loan works. Okay, you're going to go get a product or service from this business, which is a school. They are going to add value to your life, hopefully give you some more earning potential. We're going to give you a loan for that, and you're going to pay that loan back. Okay, fine. I will sign that. This is very important to me. PPP loans, hey, person, listen up. I forbid you from going outside. Actually, okay, you can go outside. That's fine. You own a business? Mm-mm. You got to shut that business down. You can't have that business going. And you're like, well, if I shut my business down, I'm going to go out of business. That's kind of like going out of business, right? Got bills I got to pay. I got a business loan that I have. How am I going to pay that loan when I can't be in business? How am I going to pay the rent of the space that I'm in and the utilities and whatever else I have to pay? What about all the people who work for me? What about those people? And so they're all immediately unemployed also. And this is law? You're saying I can't do this? Well, it's not really law. It's executive order, but whatever. You're saying I can't go to work anymore? You're just taking that right away from me without my permission? And they're like, well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you a PPP loan. It's not really a loan, even though it says loan in the title. If you use this to keep your business afloat, to pay your workers, to pay your business expenses, we're not going to make you pay it back. This is us giving you compensation for the fact that we are preventing you from exercising your right to do business right now. We are preventing you from doing that, and we are instead going to give you money to compensate for what you could have been making or to pay your expenses or to pay your employees during this time that we are preventing you from operating. And so the person says, well, I don't have to pay it back. And they're like, no. And they're like, are you sure? Because it's like, I'm going to need like $400,000 to stay closed for quite some time. And they're like, no, you don't got to pay it back. And they're like, okay, I'll take the PPP loan then. Those two situations are very, very, very different things. In one case, someone freely decided that they were going to go to college. The college had a price they did not have the money to pay the price for the college. So they went and they took a loan out from someone. They said, now I can go to college and then I'm going to pay that loan back. The other one said, I have a business. I would love it if you just leave me alone. They're like, no, I'm not going to leave you alone, but I am going to compensate you for this way that I'm not going to leave you alone. And you're not going to have to pay this compensation back, because why would you? That's ridiculous. Well, how could I force you into taking a loan right now that wouldn't even be wouldn't even be constitutional for that to happen? I'm not going to force you into taking out a business loan right now because I'm shutting you down. The comparison of these two things, they are so different, and yet people still make these comparisons all the time. And it deeply saddens me that some people think that this is a good comparison. In this case, I think Ed Krasenstein is actually being malicious. I think he's actually being partisan and biased. I don't think he's just an idiot, because he and his brother, they do post a lot of things. They do keep up with stuff. You know, they know what's going on. They're well aware of the way that the PPP loans are structured. They're well aware of how they are different. He's just trying to post something partisan. But there are some people who actually think that this is a good comparison. And I don't want to say that they're dumb, but it is dumb bleep number 10. So there you go. Get your votes in. Everyone get those votes in right now. We got 10 items for you to vote on at the moment. I am pumped to see what everyone comes up with. We got number one, Mike Johnson, FISA. Number two, background checks from the Biden administration. Number three, the 3D printed meat and bad jeans. Yeah, you see what I did there? It's pretty good. Number four, voter suppression. Number five, James Clyburn. Number six, Jasmine Crockett with the, that was the black taxes. Technically, in that scenario, you would have white taxes because you'd just be getting taxed because you're white. Whatever. Number seven, Maxine Waters. People don't say racist things, but they're racist because they say things. Number eight, Sheila Jackson Lee. The moon is in fact not made of cheese. It's made of gases. Number nine, Sunny Hostin and the eclipse and the earthquakes and the cicadas. Number 10, PPP versus student debt. And I can go ahead and call the votes right now. It's Sheila Jackson Lee, the moon. Sad day for America. That's how I feel. All right, that does it for Liberty at Night on the Free Talk Live Network this Tuesday. We will see you again next Tuesday for another 3 hours. Have a great week.
It's happening daily. We're being conned by the institutions we used to trust. The mainstream media is distracting us with meaningless headlines instead of focusing on the harsh realities facing American families. Time is short before something big happens, and that's why so many folks are preparing. They're becoming self-reliant by investing in emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure 4-week emergency food kits for each member of your family. Each kit contains tasty breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. Save $50 on each 4-week food kit you purchase. Plus, get free shipping on Ready Hour 4-week emergency food kits. You're not ready if it's not Ready Hour foods. At My Patriot Supply, you can also get solar power generators, water filtration units, heirloom seeds, and survival gear. Order by 3 p.m. and your unmarked boxes ship the same day. Shop MyPatriotSupply.com today. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Have you ever watched a video on the internet and found yourself waiting for the skip the ad button? The reason this takes a few seconds is because the video delivery companies get to collect impression commission, and the viewer never sees the advertisement. The company still pays full price to run the ad. Does this sound like a scam to you? Is there any wonder why internet ads are so ineffective? For over 100 years, radio has been a proven source for companies' messages. Radio listeners are engaged and want to support the companies that sponsor the shows they're so passionate about. Simple companies like window treatments, security, pillow companies, and more have been able to break away from the big box stores, building multi-million dollar businesses. Find out what radio can do for your business. Call 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com. That's advertise at gcnlive.com.